52. You are 65. And you are preaching. And then you fall on the altar and you die. There are no two words to it. You have health issues that you didn't take care of. There are no two. There's no packaging. There's nothing about it. Forgive me. I will hit it on the ground. There's no God in it. Praise God. I say praise God. I say praise, because there's no scriptural pattern for that. When Christ was going to go, he said, "It is finished." And then he went. So you know that this one went when he wanted to go. Paul said, "I have run the race. I have finished my course. Now I'm waiting for the boss that is coming to carry me." And that's how it's going to be for you. Not that something will just happen and cut you off unawares. No. No. It's not the will of God. So 3 John verse 2, look at what your Bible says. Bible says, "Beloved, I wish above all things," you know the scripture, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." Beloved, I wish. There's a way God treats his beloved. Even the manner of your passage will attest to it that you are what? Beloved. Are you with me? The manner of your passage will attest to it that you are what? That you are beloved. One of the things I read in the scripture, Bible says, "He giveth his beloved sleep." So when a person can't sleep as a result of stress, for instance, you have issues. You should handle it. Servant of God, I won't mention his name. Friend of mine, very popular. If I mention his name, everybody here will know him. At a point in time, he couldn't sleep. 2 days, 3 days, he couldn't sleep. And he was preaching. He couldn't sleep. Running crusade, he couldn't sleep. And so he went to the doctor. They gave him one drug. He still couldn't sleep. They doubled the drug. He still couldn't sleep. They changed the drug. He still couldn't sleep. They did everything. He still couldn't sleep. And so the wife got wiser and said, "The way this thing is going, if I don't take action," because in spite of all of that, the man still kept preaching. Yeah. You know, some of us men can be very stubborn, especially when we believe we have the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So the wife said, "I am not yet ready to be a widow." So without his consent or whatever, she organized his tickets and her ticket. And lo and behold, they bundled him and they flew him to London. So they got to London. They were seeking the best medical attention possible. So when they got to the doctor said, after looking at everything, said, "Look, Mr. Man, there is nothing wrong with you. You are just what? Stressed up." The same medicine they had given, doubled, tripled, and whatever, the man gave half of a single tablet and said, "Take this one, go and sleep." And then he told the wife, he said, "Your duty is to ensure that this man does not leave the room where you put him. Don't let him leave." So he got on the bed, and from 6 p.m. in the evening, he slept until 6 p.m. the following evening without turning his body, without getting up to go and urinate. He didn't even, you know, when you are sleeping, you turn side. He didn't even turn side. He just slept like that. So when it was morning, the wife felt, "Oh, praise God, he's sleeping. He has had a very good sleep." Now, when it was 10 o'clock, he still hasn't woken up. Since 6 p.m., the following, he said, noon. It was then she realized that this man has not even turned. 2 o'clock, the same thing. Then from, praise God, the man has slept. He changed to, "Oh God, I don't want to lose my husband. Bring him back, bring him back." And she began to pray and was weeping, because already she concluded the man was dead. "Bring him back, oh God." She prayed from around that 2 o'clock till 6 p.m. making 24 full hours of sleep for that man till that man woke up. So he woke up and he said, darling, what's the problem? He said, you have been sleeping since 6 p.m. yesterday. He said, you don't mean it. He said, I only slept for maybe about 2 hours or whatever. He said, no, you have been today is Thursday. You slept yesterday, Wednesday. Now, here's my point. I've shared this before, I believe, here. Here's my point. The man said, God, not man, God now spoke to him and said, my son, the next time you use your body like this, I will take you home. And I'm not scaring you by saying this. Many are going home this year. Some have already gone. I told you in February, you must put your life in order. Part of the process of putting your life in order is this thing we are doing now. Put your health in order. You have a responsibility to do that. Forgive me, I've spent more than 5 minutes. But you have a responsibility to do that. Nobody will do it for you. I don't know whether it is true because the Bible didn't write it that way. But some scholars have told us, they said, observe that Dr. Luke was always traveling with Apostle Paul. They said, draw wisdom from that. They didn't say beyond that. That Dr. Luke was always with who? Apostle Paul. They said, draw wisdom from that. They didn't say more than that. What is the apostle carrying Dr. all about for? What is the miracle worker, the one who can raise the dead? Why is he going about with Dr.? What the man who made the lame to walk, the blind to see? What was he going about with a physician? Sometimes the Bible will say, Christians has departed to Thessalonica, this has gone to that, that has gone to this. Only Luke is with me. Only Luke is with me. Not because the man wants to look, and not because the man wants to write. Praise God. So it has pleased God for us to do this today so that health-wise we can also be balanced. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be what? In health. I dare say, I didn't say the Bible write it that way, but I dare say that you are committing iniquity when due to your negligence you are not in health. You know why I said that? It says your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He said you shouldn't defile it. He said if anybody defiles it, God will do what? Today we are privileged to have a dear daughter of Zion in the house. We've been coming along for many years. We've been coming along for about 30 years now. A very faithful and dependable spiritual daughter she is to me. She is so dear to me. She's been a Christian all the years I've known her. And thank God for the testimony of Christ that is in her. And so she's going to be speaking to us as a child of God, as a minister of God. So that none of you should say, Dr. Lenyi, or demands the share on share me, kule ye. No. Oh, ye. So she's going to be speaking to us from the perspective of a Christian, in fact, of a minister of God. Today, God has privileged her to be the CEO, if you call it that way, the overall boss at Olabisi Onabanjo University Teaching Hospital, Shagamu, what you call OSUT. So, if I may say, the whole of OSUT is here. Praise God. It can't get better than that for us here. Because that's the head of a tertiary health institution in the state, the most central, the most important tertiary health institution in the state. It can't get better than that. For us in Ogun State, that is our UCH. So it's like somebody coming from Almighty UCH or somebody coming from Almighty Louvre. And maybe I should tell you, in this country, by reason of what God has helped people like her and our team to do, OSU is one of the, maybe I think five or six, I can't remember, teaching hospitals that the federal government and the medical council approved to retrain doctors that studied abroad. So if you understand that, it means we are dealing with an institution that is of a very high standard. Are you still with me? Praise the name of Jesus. So join me to appreciate God in her life as I bring to the microphone Dr. Mrs. Oluwabunmi. Emi Oluwamuyiwa Tunrayo. I am Fatungashi. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. I'm highly privileged and humbled to be here this morning. I want to thank you, sir, and mommy for inviting me to share a little bit with men and women of God this morning. Let us pray. Father, I return all the glory to you and all the honor and all the adoration. I acknowledge your help this morning. I ask that you help me to represent you appropriately in Jesus' name. And I ask that you help me to present the health version of what we need to know without fear or doubt in the power of God, in the name of Jesus. And I also pray that, Lord, this morning will ring a bell of caution to every of our ministers that they will be able to last longer in the kingdom and walk with you and walk for you more efficiently in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for answered prayers. In Jesus' name we are prayed. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm excited to be here this morning. This is one of the things I love doing most, aside from being in the hospital. I'm first of all a child of God. Secondarily, then a Christian medical doctor. So I am proud to say that I'm a child of God. I can't hide it anywhere, because that is the whole essence of my life. The Bible says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. I've had to speak with so many other groups or individuals about their health. And if there's anything we neglect so much, is our health. Because as long as we can jump, we can walk about, we keep doing it, forgetting that our body is not wood. So this morning we're going to talk about something very sensitive, something you cannot remove from ministers, whether we're a young minister, whether we're a middle-aged or old minister, and that is stress. When you talk about the minister of the gospel, not a lazy, a minister that is actually working, another ally, another thing that works closely with such a minister is stress. And if we are not careful, we don't identify it and know our breaking limits, we can shame the gospel or bring some form of disappointment into the kingdom of God. Now, the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. I want to appreciate that because it's given a good background and it's helped me to have a soft landing or takeoff. A soft takeoff, yes. So 1 Corinthians 6, 19 says, do you not know that your body is a temple of a spirit of holiness who dwells within you? Another version will say, don't you know? Another one started with an exclamation. What? Are you ignorant of the fact that your body is a temple of a living God? And I'm happy it says your body, so that we will know. It's not saying our spirit is a temple. As not our soul. Now, as we are seated, we are a body. We have a body. But we are a spirit that harbors the soul in a body. So this body is a container. When this body collapses or dies, we render useless the effectiveness of a spirit of God that is inside us to work and do efficient work and do marvelous things and do exploits for the kingdom. And so God does not take our body lightly, but we have that responsibility to take care of our body. Praise the Lord. And the first slide says, beloved, I wish above all things, in 3 John verse 1, chapter 1, verse 2, above all things that you be in health. We quote it a lot and we preach about it to many people. But are we in health? Are we in good health? Are we giving caution about our life? I know at a point in time, I'm also a culprit of negligence of my health. And I know my daddy also hammers and says, today you must rest. This Monday, I clamor for public holidays. When we have, because I know nearly everybody will be at rest. But hospital doesn't rest, you know, 24 hours, we keep on 364 days. We keep on working. But at least I use that time to sleep a little bit longer. And then my mind is at rest. You know, sometimes you'll be sleeping and your mind is not resting. My mind is at rest that, you know, there's no need. They can call for emergencies and things like that, but I just know that things are set to answer to them. So it says, wish above all things that will be in sound mind, in good health. And WHO defines health as a state, not a state of lack of disease, but a state of perfect emotional, psychological, financial, mental fitness. So it is not only people who have to go to the hospital and say, I have diabetes, hypertension, that is in good health or in bad health. It means so many other things can culminate or precipitate poor health to us. And those are what are called stressors, stress factors. And it does not exclude ministers of God. Because ministers of God have wife, they have husband, they have work. Some, you know, still work. They have to pay school fees. So they have several bodies also to attend to. As long as we are on earth, you go to the market, you eat, you have to look for food. One way or the other, you are exposed to stress. And I'm happy to let us know that not all stress is bad. But you must be able to know the measure of stress you can cope with. Stress has been defined as a physical, mental, or emotional response to events which cause mental or bodily tension. Why am I particular about stress this morning? Because stress would mask, at its cover, it can cover serious medical illnesses. You would not know some bad things are happening in the system. Some years back, I had one of our nurses in the hospital who had a lump in the breast, was removed, and unfortunately for her, it was diagnosed to be nothing cancer. Then she was doing this part-time course that she had to do every weekend. She travels. So whether she's off or not, she has to find a way to do it. So So she travels every weekend, goes on Friday, comes back on Sunday night, and then starts work again on Monday, whether for night or for morning or afternoon. So when she was having some years, like 3 years into this program, she was having bone pains, she was having neck pain, she was always having, she initially thought it was stress, so she was, you know, taking analgesic, this and that, until she started losing weight drastically. It was highly significant. And everybody started complaining and said, you have lost weight, you are not so big, but this is not, you are not picking up. Despite even cutting down on your stress factor around you, you are still losing weight. You're not looking healthy. And she said, it's the stress. I can't even eat well. Every time I go, assignment and this and that. Then somebody said, go and check yourself. Go and do thorough medical checkup. And then she started doing blood workups and everything. Lo and behold, she had breast cancer. By that time, it has gone to the bones. That was why she was having bone pains. She died about 6 months after that discovery. The course she was doing, she couldn't finish it. She couldn't use it. And that was how our work was terminated. She was very young, maybe early 40s. It was very painful because she was one of our very hard-working nurses. This was over 15 years ago. So what are stressors? What are things that I've just mentioned to us? Or before that, let's mention, is stress bad? Moderate levels of stress may actually improve our performance and efficiency. Like every one of us, we're exposed to one form of stress or the other. And moderate portion of stress pushes us, helps us. For a student, for instance, that lives at Ijebugbo, that has to go to PS, will go through stress. If the person says, I don't want stress, so then it means we'll not struggle to enter bus. We'll not struggle to get to work from maybe gate, you know, to do some things. So some level of stress we cannot eliminate, and it helps us to be efficient. And in fact, exercise is a form of stress, but it's healthy if we know what is moderate for our age. But too little stress may result into boredom. If you see somebody that's always sitting, I don't like stress. They've said we should not have stress in our life. Then the person has sedentary lifestyle, and the person is inviting diseases of affluence. Those are diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol level. Heart attack is very close because you're not supposed to be sedentary. Just sit down and say, Janet, go and bring that pomo. Miss Alao, go and do that. When you have opportunity to walk, you're not walking, you're just sitting down. Everything, just command within hospital, you know, from this place, because there's car. You're always, so that is not so good for us. But too much stress can cause an unproductive anxiety level. Too much stress. But you see, it is relative. We don't each of alalo mare. You know your body, and you must not deceive yourself. Your adage will say, if everybody deceives you, be true to yourself, don't deceive yourself. If you know that stress measure is too much, quickly tell you. Even your body will be telling you. You know these traffic lights, we have green, yellow, red. Once the body starts telling you yellow, every time, every 2 weeks, you are falling ill of one funny symptom or the other, and it's becoming repeated. Your body is giving, it's like an engine of a car that's giving you a knocking sign. It says, hey, engine, if I knock. And when you start a car, and it's in time, a car that's supposed to do quim, and then starts. But you do to you. It's an ignition problem, is knocking. Something is happening. This car is due for service. You know, and then you see some vehicles have this ABS thing that gives us indication on the dashboard. So every one of us, there's a way our body gives us such notices. Sometimes some people have persistent headaches. Sometimes some people just have unexplained body weakness or fatigue, that is weakness. Our bodies always give us signs. But you see the problem with ministers of God. Just like Moses, he was doing all sorts, everything. He was seeing everybody. He was counseling, he was advising, he was going from one house to the other, he was separating people, he was, making peace, husband and wife, you know, doing everything. And they say, that prophet is wonderful. He's a man of God. As long as you can jump up and down, people will praise you. But you'll be surprised the day that person dropped dead. The first person that says, oh, I'm ashamed and crying, is the first person that goes and says, you're being by me, you're laughing, bet it. And that is it. That is it. I've never seen a minister that died and they buried members of his church to say, in honor of our most reverend general overseer, let some ushers follow him. It has never happened, and it will never happen. We came to the world one by one, and we are going one by one. But we should go at the appropriate time, at the appointed time. We should not terminate the destiny God gave to us by ourselves. So let's identify stressors. Those are situations, activities, or even relationships that can cause trauma to one's physical, emotional, or psychological self. As long as we are relating with this human, this earth, and we're occupying till Jesus comes, we cannot eliminate stressors. And those are school, work, family life. If it's not your immediate family, it can be extended family issue. And there are issues. They might even be claiming demands on putting so much pressure on us to give them something. Relationships. You know, apparently it may not even be just relationship between you and your wife. I have ministers of God that will have relationship issues with other ministers around. Maybe people talking, maligning you, backbiting you and everything. You must have a way to cope with this stress. You must find a way to cope with this stress. Or else it will affect your efficiency. I remember sometime at work. I'm a kind of person that I can't look away when there's work to be done. I do it. And so that day, I had finished my work. I was not the one on call. So I went to the quarters. I was staying at the daughter's quarters. That was early years of my residency program. Then I went to get maybe something for my kids to eat and the house help, because my family was at Ijebugo, Maine, but I had to be at Shagama at that time. Then as I was going, I met one of the senior doctors. I said, please, we have an emergency in the theater now. We cannot find your colleague that is on call. Please, can you help us start the case why you call on that person to come? And I said, okay. So I just quickly dropped whatever I needed to drop from my house help to continue cooking, and I went to the theater to start the case. Lo and behold, the case was going on fine, and my colleague came. She stood at the entrance of the theater, and she didn't come in to come and take over from me. I just took it in with, I was working. I just continued the work. Like, this work will just soon finish, just like an hour procedure, it's a cesarean session. And then one of the nurses came to tell me that your colleague said, since you always want to do superwoman, you can do all things, continue the work and finish it. She didn't even say thank you for saving the day. I felt so bad. I finished the case and I went back home. But for some few days, I couldn't sleep. I felt bad. I was just weeping. That she your man showed the Darosha. I wanted to save the life of a woman and a child. Also save my department from disgrace and, you know, perhaps management query. And you came and you have guts not to say thank you. And you said, since you want to show that you can do the work. They called your number. You didn't pick. You said they didn't come to your house to come. How can they come to your house to come and call you to do your work when you're supposed to be there? So I couldn't sleep. I was so disturbed mentally. But I don't know how God sorted me out. Maybe I spoke with some of them. I just spoke out, you know, and somebody said, you better don't kill yourself. This is just one of these. Just the beginning. Fortify yourself. Whatever you have done for God. Just leave that person. It's God as your rewarder. And I tell you one thing. God rewards. He rewards. He does not. The Bible says, he'd rather be unrighteous to forget to reward our labor of love. So I sorted my, and I just cleared my heart, and I made up my mind that whether the person is going to apologize or not, I've forgiven the person, and I lived on my life. I didn't even discuss it with the person, and I just lived on. But you know, I could go on with that burden, and then it can turn to bitterness. I'll be the one not sleeping. I'll be the one with headaches. I'll be the one with high blood pressure. But God delivered me early by making me to speak out, and I decided to just look away and say, And you see, another thing, there's an adage that the Holy Spirit helped me with. It's a Yoruba adage. He says, Adani loro agbara lo fi koni. So I just thought, for that one extra day I've done, I've learned more, because practice makes perfect. So I just saw that positive. So you must have a positive attitude to things. People will talk, you can't hold their mouth. People, they are entitled to their opinion. And we have to outgrow it. Don't expect him and say, anybody can say it's not you. I expect so much. Don't ever expect too much from anybody. Anybody can disappoint anybody. It is the nature of human being to disappoint. So don't add the stressors of relationship to your life. Legal issues. Finances. That one is one major thing, though. Because owo ni koko, abi? When there's no money in the pocket, a lot of us go become very depressed and become very pocket fever. I know my husband will say, I'll just be gloomy and I'll be looking. I say, excuse me, sir, what's the problem? Praise the Lord. But it's important, because the Bible says the health is the Lord and his fullness thereof. And you see, I've had to drive sometimes. When I was living at Jebubo, I've done some reckless things. God have mercy on me. I'll leave Shagamu with red like that in my vehicle. I don't have money. Medical doctor will say, Holy Spirit, I trust. I don't know how you did it. You just do it and help me. And it will help me home. Honestly, how will we increase the fuel gauge or whatever? So I'm only telling you that, look, God knows the way to provide. Sometimes I'll be saying, today, I don't have one naira. How is it going to help me and save me from disgrace today? I've had moments my children will say, I need money for this and that, because I've maybe overly stretched my husband. I won't go and ask him. But miraculously, something will happen. And what God brings to my mind is, if God can make coin to be in the mouth of a fish, he just said, go. The first fish you catch, just open. God, so ministers of God, particularly those are full-time ministers, you will not sleep overnight because of a project is going and you're convention, what am I bearing? Lord, la, olu, wow. How am I going to do it? And you'll be, a moment we'll send that dear tear, why don't, oroje lansoy. But you see, it is the work of God. God doesn't disgrace himself. He's God. And the Bible says he's the one that gives us power to get wealth. He has. If for that moment, that money is not coming forth for that thing you want, be sure that the time it will come, it will be beautiful. Just relax, so, and say, God is your work. And I love this song about Governor sang the first day he entered, he got his fairing. He says, O tin she shareable, Baba she la shekwe. Just remember, how did we start? God, you did this. You provided house. You did this television. Just be counting your blessings and say, God, I know you will finish the roofing. There's no problem. If you have started it, you accomplish it. You know what Paul said? He says, I am persuaded. Persuaded means beyond every reasonable doubt. I am convinced, settled within me, that he that has begun a good work, he means able to, he is able, means he has the capacity. He is more than sufficient. He doesn't need to consult with anybody and say, how can we plan to use that money and ration it so that redeem also will have, claim will have. God doesn't need that. He has the resources. And he knows how to equally distribute it at the appointed time. Praise the Lord. Health and illness. But what we are doing today is preventive. And also to manage. Peradventure, for those who already have some health issues, you should give attention to it and take care of yourself. Routine medical checkup. We're still going to talk about it. But for those who do not have any health challenge, or you don't know, you just don't know even your status. You have never done blood pressure. Everything is, Holy Spirit is measuring it, and I'm fine. Have you watched one WhatsApp that somebody had a lot of food in front of and says, calorie burner. Jesus, you are my calorie burner, and he has all sorts of food. Eating like a glutton. And says, Holy Spirit is a calorie burner. That one is wayo. Praise the Lord. That's also the lighter mode. We have to take caution. But you see, when one of our past partners or maybe a child has a health challenge and that is wearing us down, Bible says we cast all our burdens onto him because he cares for us. What God cannot do does not exist. And what you hand over to him, he will do. If he doesn't do it then, or he has not done it then, does not mean he will not do it. And a note of caution, if he eventually even doesn't do it, it's not your problem, he's God. When Lazarus died, day one, day two, he told his disciples, day one, our friend Lazarus is asleep. And the people said, if he's asleep, let us leave him to sleep. Let him be sleeping and snoring. He said, no, that's not what I meant. He is dead. Then let us say, no, we will go at the appointed time. And they were looking at him like, hey, brother Jesus, day one, day two, day three, and day four. When he got there, even Mary and Martha, they said, Master, your friend that you loved so much had died. His case is closed. We're not going to cry. Maybe you had traffic code up, but if you had come early, it wouldn't have happened. You understand? But Jesus told, Jesus is never late to handle any issue. He's never late. Because you had prayed, gone to the mountain about a health challenge, and you feel case closed. I'm carrying my burden. Or you are looking for alternative. Don't look for alternative for Jesus. So. Jesus is, after Jesus, it's only Jesus. After Jesus, it's only Jesus. If people are giving you options, use Agbo, and this Babalawo at Jesha, Jebu, or somewhere is very solid. Even a lot of general overseers has come there. Don't let them give you options. Don't seek for options. In my own life, if God cannot do it, then nobody can do it for me. I would never seek for option for anything, any solution in my life. I never wanted it. I will never want it. In Jesus' name. So our environment can be a stressor. Living situation can be a stressor. And then finally, church work. A lot of activities. This I want to dwell on with us. We do a lot of programs. And do you know, even ushering department meetings, some ministers, some pastors will say they want to be there. Children department meeting, they want to oversee them. Teenagers church meeting, you want to be there. Sisters fellowship, you want to be there. Is it that you don't trust people you are delegated to do work? You are not Holy Spirit. You can't be everywhere. Yes. And that is the essence of, you see, and God says that the same Spirit works in all of them. There's a gift of administrations, helps, you know, and other gifts. So let everybody, God gave them to edify the body of Christ. Even you as a coordinator, either pastor, evangelist, or apostle, you are there to coordinate. God said, commit this work to faithful men who are able. Faithful men who are able. Commit the work. It is God's work. Give them guidelines. Empower them or equip them. Train them to be efficient. But don't sit on their throat because you will wear yourself out. On Monday, you are in church. On Tuesday, you are in church. You don't have a dedicated, committed day to rest. Ministers, if every day of the week, of the month, you are always in church seeing one person or the other, you are wearing out your engine. You're wearing it out. And this is not the pleasure of God. You're not doing it at the will of God because you won't be happy. Because you see, every one of us have our uniqueness. And God has given us assignments. But unfortunately, if we decide to remove ourselves untimely, we always have a replacement. Unfortunately. unfortunately, God has a replacement. It may be a trainee that you quickly groom. Because of while you are there, he's not saying I have a replacement for you. But if you don't decide I want to step out, you will have no other choice but to quickly get a replacement for the work of God to continue. But I want to beg us, let us not chalk our lives. Let's have that principle. You must have vacation. You must have rest time. Even Jesus had a time he will retreat and stay away. If Jesus was not sleeping soundly in that ship that was moving here and there, was the boat, and they were saying, Master, you don't care that we die. And Jesus was, kill her, son, die. Bible said he was asleep on a pillow. It described it when he was sleeping comfortably on the ship. Jesus was sleeping, that no stress for my life. When it is time to sleep, it's time to sleep. Don't let us choke ourselves, working ourselves to stupor. It is not glorious to sleep and fall down on the altar while talking. It is more glorious to sit down at home with gray hair and go. Not artificial gray hair, naturally that comes at the age of 18, 90, because some people very young could have. So I'm not saying anybody that has gray hair must go. What I'm trying to say is that it is much more glorious to even prepare. You would have called all your grandchildren and say, I'm going home to be with the Lord. We can sing praises. Let's sing hallelujah song. And gloriously you say, oh, I saw grandpa. Even you have ministered to them. The little children will desire to go to heaven and say, I want to grow old like grandpa. If Jesus has not come, I'll just sit down and go on. Wake up in the morning and say, my dear, don't bother to make breakfast this morning. I'm eating breakfast with the Lord. And I'll say, oh, darling, I shall meet you too very soon. It is well. That is good ongoing. Praise the Lord. It's not an abrupt cut off of destiny that will create more confusion for the young converts in our church. And some people will now run away and say, ha, if this death can carry pastor away, hey, I don't think I have confidence in staying in this church. Sorry, my cursor seems stuck here. So is this moving? Okay, negative effects of peculiar. Can you help me with this? I'm reading from here, it's stuck. But no, yours is moving. You have to help me with this. I don't know why it is stuck, but I'll be reading from there. I need to see it. Thank you. Also, what are the negative effects of stress? We will see that the person can have excessive weight gain, but most of the times, most people have weight loss. And the people that have weight gain, sometimes people compensate for stress by eating excessively. And there's a stress hormone called cortisol. Now, even when the person eats normally, the person starts gaining extra weight because of that stress hormone helps increases fat level. Then unexpected hair loss in some individuals. Then there's what's called palpitations. The heart just starts beating on its own, whether you are afraid or not. But most of the times, it is you are not just sitting at rest. So then you have to just start. And you will feel it. As we are all seated, our hearts are beating, but you don't feel it. We are breathing, but you're not conscious of your breath. But then you are being conscious of some other system and organ working actively in your body, then there's an issue. High blood pressure. And one thing I want us to know is that high blood pressure, diabetes, and some diseases are familiar. They are diseases that we can acquire from our parents. So if we have that tendency, it can come up earlier if we have stressors that would exaggerate or kickstart. But we can prevent them. For instance, if one's parents are obese, they are round, they're fat, it's most likely one or two of the children too will take after them. But if you feel, don't be like me, because you see, obesity is associated with some diseases like hypertension, diabetes, and some other problems. You understand? So you say, watch your weight. I'm also cutting down on what I'm eating. So you just tell them to cut down, and it is possible. We should never say you cannot run away from me. You'll be big like me. You don't have to be big. Some people have consciously tried it and they've done exercises. They've limited the calories they're eating against their genes, and they have maintained their stature and their health. I mean, health. What's it called? Status. Emotional swings. The person can suddenly just become irritable. You know, they just say, Mulo, I went to see Pastor now. He was just shouting. His eyes are red. I don't know who upset Pastor. That's not a good manifestation of the fruit of the spirit. It's not. Anger and whatever is not, it's not godly virtue. But when you are stressed to some point, we call it ikora in Yoruba, you become irritable. Your mood becomes unpredictable. And it's also commoner in women. Then there's anxiety. You just become restless and you just become apprehensive. Then it can also lead to depression in some people because they feel everything is just scattered. I don't even understand what is happening to me. And my case seems hopeless. I've prayed and prayed. It doesn't seem... Once you start having this hopeless, lifeless, joyless feeling, is a gloomy, depressive mood around you. You can go for deliverance and pray it off, but you need to address the issue. What are the things happening around you causing depression? Just like Daddy just shared, that a man of God was going on for days preaching. If that was not aborted, he could have died or had another major problem. He could have had stroke on the mother side or death ultimately. Thank God for the wife that was observant. I remember when I was a student here at OSU, I used to use caffeine, Nescafe, to read because I want to stay awake. I read more in the night. And so I took caffeine for an exam. And whenever exams are coming, I don't like failing. So I always would love to read because I know I go to fellowship and I want to compensate for that time. I don't want to. That time I didn't know how to prioritize my time. So if I spend a whole day in church, I'll spend the whole night reading. So lo and behold, I went for exams. And for 33 hours, I didn't sleep. I didn't sleep overnight. I went for the exam. Then the next day, they carried me away from the exam hall because I was having what is called tetany. My hands were just having cramps. I've had dehydration and some electrolytes became deranged in me. I was just crying the exam. I said, I can't write. Somebody help me. They had to carry me to the health center. So what is the essence of reading overnight? The exam I couldn't do. So nobody needs to teach me. And they asked me, so it could be worse. It could have been worse. But for God's sake, they gave me fluid and they made me sleep. See, nature cannot be cheated. You will realize that anytime you do vigil, the next day, your system doesn't seem right until you have slept some few hours. It's just the way the system is. And then if you are traveling from one country to another country that has different timing, they call it jet lag, you'll still be adjusting. Your body will be doing that kind of, you won't get your system until like 2-3 days, particularly going from Nigeria to, let's say, America, that have like 8 hours lag behind. Or, you know, some other countries like China or something. So, you know, our system, that is the way our body has been programmed. You can't change it. Even God that did it like that. When he walked, God Almighty, day one, day two, to day seven, and God rested on the seventh day. When you are going to roll like the trailer, and you say, even train has a place to stop. Remember Genesis chapter 1, and God rested on the seventh day. Mommies, tell our daddy, when they are doing everything, say, hey, kushe uluwa o, and God rested on the seventh day. Resting is not a sin. It's something that is essential, or else the stress could kill. So can also lead to unhealthy coping strategies in some people. Alcohol, drugs. I was passing by yesterday and the police stopped me along Ayekpe access. And the policeman said, oh, doctor, help. Help me, you are a doctor. Muni Dogunda. And as he was talking, I could feel the stench of ogogoro. And I said, eh, are you diabetic? He said, yes. I said, do you take alcohol? He said, yes. Ah. I said, you don't need drugs again. He said, eh, so I should go and die. Muni, yes. He said, ah, you are very blunt. Muni, ah, why won't I be blunt? Muni, sir, how old are you? He said, you will be 16 the next. Muni, so you are even close to retirement. Muni, so have you started planning that you don't want to enjoy retirement? He said, ah, Dr. Muni, yes. Muni, sometimes some people like you need firm talk. Well, because the way I look at you, you are addicted to that alcohol. Muni, you ain't got any problem. But park away from the road. Banema Bombi. Muni, enkpara India je. You are drinking ogogoro. You are enjoying it. Muni, ogogoro is killing your liver. Destroying. Muni, there's no drug. The drug that normal people will use, one tablet, your liver will need to use more before it is efficient. Yet, that volume or that concentration is going to kill your system at the same time because of the side effects, which is undesirable. Some won't be able to excrete it. Muni, what do you want to gain from it? Muni, anyway, I hope you. Muni, that's why I don't give people money. If I know pure water, you won't buy pure water. You go and use it to buy Chelsea. I won't give you my money to go and take alcohol. Muni, we're doing medical outreach very soon, the next few weeks. Come there. Let's check. How do you check your blood sugar? I check it once a month. Muni, sir, you are walking in the valley of a shadow of death. Oh. May God deliver you. May God deliver you. That looked at me like this. Muni, yes, you are not taking care of yourself at all. It can associate with the stress of being on the road. Who sent them to be on the road? Okay, let's say it's the stress of going about searching for criminals. That could be stressful. But some other policemen are doing the same work and they're not taking to alcohol. So we have to look away. If we don't undo that stress, we will find the body would initiate a coping mechanism. And that coping mechanism may not be what is appropriate or good for us at that time, at any time. And it can also precipitate sudden death, which is called heart attack generally. We call it cardiac arrest. The heart and the... You see, in the whole of a system, there's one engine that once it stops, every other thing will follow suit. That's the heart, because it's the one that supplies blood to the brain. Even the brain that is organ master, that is given directive. The brain is just sharp. But you can say, do this. Oh, put your hands up, put it down, and coordinate. But once heart says, I'm cutting up blood supply to you, even the brain will gentle. After 3 to 5 minutes that the heart stops giving blood, there's what is called reversible brain damage. Reversible. But after 8 minutes, it becomes irreversible. So within the first 3 minutes, if somebody collapses and the heartbeat is not there, you have to jump start. That's what's called chest compression. We call it ABCD of resuscitation. You resuscitate the person. CPR, cardiopulmonary resuscitation. But after 3 minutes and nothing is done, and people are just shouting, hey, hey, this and that, hallelujah. If God in his mercy does not bring back that person without any medical intervention, so it is important that we put ourselves and put a halt. My husband used to tell me before, because I rarely fall ill, and as long as I'm okay, I'm here and there and this and that. And there was a year that I fell ill. I just had headache and general body weakness. I did all the tests. All my tests were clean and clear. They couldn't explain. I said, stop wasting pastor's prayers and anointing. You need rest. It's rest you need. Just sleep several days. Just be eating and sleep. Switch off that phone. Some of us are not medical doctors that have, pastors have emergencies also, but you don't switch off your phone. Even your phone is crying for rest. We don't switch off our phone. Did you know that even these phones, you reduce their lifespan if you just charge, continue charge. Even if it's just for 30 minutes in a day, switch off this phone, let it rest, and then regain power. If a phone technology will require to rest, how much more us? So it's important that we don't truncate. Let's go to the next slide. It's happening again. Aquilia, the next slide. Let's talk. Implication for a minister. What do I do? Okay. Thanks. So what are the implications of this if a minister is overly stressed and is not giving attention to it? You can become forgetful. You become irritable. You can start manifesting features of the flesh, the carnal mind, being abusive, little things you exaggerate, being quarrelsome and things. And it can mask serious signs and symptoms of diseases like I shared with you about that other lady. It's an exaggeration of mild medical diseases. If somebody was making a borderline hypertensive, maybe their blood pressure is about maybe 140, ranging between 138 or 130 and 140, and then the diastolic maybe between 80-something and 90-95. The person can be tilted to like 170, you know, over, let's say, 100 because of stress. So can tilt somebody from a borderline hypertensive to established hypertension because you have persistent pressure and then uncontrolled or unattended to stress in one's life. And that is dangerous. Peptic ulcer disease is one disease that is precipitated so much with stress. Too much of prolonged fast that you don't, you notice that when you are fasting for more than 2 days, it has a limit that you have to start hydrating, you have to start taking water in between it. The 40 days fast, 50 days fast, they always say that you take water. And I know they mention it in Redeem. They will tell the ministers, take water, take water, take water. Please, and if you have a medical ailment and you are a general overseer and you are the one calling 7 days fast, biri biri, and you want to do like, I cannot tell them to do it while I'm not doing it, go and ask God, did God primarily say they should do 7 days biri biri? Or is that you just feel in your own self, that problem will not go if you don't do biri biri. It's important that we don't exaggerate things or make things look so burdensome. Jesus says, my yoke is light, and his burden is not heavy. He's the one that will do it, not us. It is good we pray. The fast is to just suppress our flesh to be able to hear more from God. It is not that if you don't fast, the mountain will not come down. The Bible says if we have faith as small as mustard seed. I didn't see in the Bible where the Bible says if you can fast 10 days, the problem will go. Fasting is just to synergize prayer, suppress our flesh. So it is important we don't misplace priority. There is nowhere in the Bible that the Bible says if you don't fast, yet you harbor unforgiveness, your sacrifice will be acceptable. Fasting does not facilitate acceptance in heaven. So we should not misplace priorities and then give ourselves health challenges. How do we manage this stress? Once we identify we have stressors, you know, I mentioned different types of things that can stress us. It's good that we sit down, identify. I feel I'm stressed the way I'm acting or behaving, or these things I see that I'm doing lately. Maybe I'm becoming a bit more irritable lately. I'm not resting well. I'm having persistent headache or this and that. Sit down and look around you. Be sincere. Once you identify that, now you now plan how to de-stress. First is body relaxation exercises. Well, I don't believe in yoga really because it has its own meditation of Christian, doctrines. But what is the breathing techniques is just like you sit down and you just breathe in and out. It's like giving your time to say, just you're telling yourself, just relax. Everything is going to be okay. You are going to be fine. It's going to be fine. At the end of a tunnel, there's always going to be lights. Don't worry. God's got my back. And he says, it's good that you have positive affirmative words for yourself. The Bible says David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the midst of the turmoil and all the issues, he had time to seek God and say, God said, don't worry, just encourage yourself. That was after he encouraged himself. He was able to now go and consult that should I follow them, should I pursue? And God says, follow, pursue, and you overtake and recover all. Then physical exercises. And exercises have different, measures by individual. There's some age group that cannot do some kind of exercises. But ordinarily taking a good, brisk stroll on a cool evening, on a road that is safe for, don't walk and let Okada harass you. And if you are, just be cautious. You can take evening stroll, like walk a mile or walk 2 miles and come back. Do that regularly, like 3 times in a week. Because exercise generally is good for the body because it helps your tones and it helps your circulation easily. So then we can know our, if you type into Google or you type into YouTube, exercise suitable for your age, type your age there, it will come out for you. Then meditation. The Bible says the word of God is strength unto us, our bodies and life. It says it's strength to our bones or something like that. So it's important that we meditate on the word. It's not exertion. You are not preaching. You can even just put an audio Bible to be playing, and gradually after a while you get relaxed, because the Bible says his word is life and spirit. You understand? And you can try to just do some reflection around the time. Then you can seek for counsel. You can seek for counsel. Talk to maybe an older mentor or, a coach about whatever it is you are facing. There are people who have passed through it. Bible book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, there's no trial or temptation that you are going through that is not common to man. Bible says, in that same problem, God will make a way of escape. So it's important that we talk out. And you see, most times problems spoken about is half solved. By the time sometimes you are talking to somebody, even the solution will come to you. You speak it out. He says, I don't know. Being a full-time minister, money is not coming, and I don't know how to do it, and I don't want to, it's not good, it's not polite to be asking members of the church to be giving you money, and this doesn't show respect and honor. And, look for an older minister, full-time minister or so, who you believe has gone, or ask Holy Spirit for guidance, who to lead you to. But seek counsel. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. So you do talk therapy or life coaching. So you should have people you can talk to. Also take a vacation. And when we talk about vacation, it doesn't have to be Anton Lossi Loibo, Benin Republic, Ghana. You can stay in Ijebugu and have vacation. Vacation just means a leave, a break. You understand? You can decide to have maybe one of these small phones. You put a new SIM that everybody doesn't associate or know you with. Switch off the regular hotlines. Your wife, you can go together with her, or you're going with your husband, and just rest. And you see, we are less efficient in the work of God when we are stressed. We will just be muddling up things. We are less efficient. And there's nobody that wants to stay beside or around an irritable minister of God. Because you see, your character speaks a lot. And we cannot, Bible says there's something about the oil of a little sin causes the oil of the apothecary to stink. When we have a little form of bad character, it spoils the whole thing. They're just saying, Pastor Kilefelobayin, what's the man Conrad you? Don't go. And unfortunately, that person might need that help. That pastor may be able to give the counsel. But because of that little issue that he has, and look, ministers of God, you are always at the giving end. Shall we know? You are the one that gives counsel, gives advice, give prayers, give money, give. Some members of our church, we never think of Pastor Ekpele. Even a nurse will not say, check him by intention, blood pressure, in love. wo ofi shaker wo oro ni wo fi pe pastor pastor ni there ah Holy Ghost fire wo ba won rin kiri you no need there fun ma wa je ki inu ara pastor ko ba sfig mi je anointing. You see, because we forget, they forget. They see you are superhuman. They see you, and that's how people think, talk about doctors. She doctor man seeking. Man, yeah, doctor is a human being, robot anymore. Ha! We're all human beings. God has just helped us to have little knowledge in this aspect. But if we don't use that knowledge well, some doctors, you know, some doctors smoke. They smoke. And they also, the consequences is no respecter of persons. You won't say because you're a doctor, a potential will not come near you. He's a liar. So it's important that we seek help and we tap into every form of assistance that we need to be able to make progress. Other helpful tips. We should change our perceptions and expectations. We shouldn't have too much high expectations about things. Our perceptions about things. You know, it's important that we don't, I mentioned earlier that we don't expect too much from people. He says that the person drumming doesn't know how to drum. We need some high-tech instrumentalists. You now go to Lagos and hire people to come. And when they will now be asking you, pay 50,000. And you'll be running a task letter. Hey, how do I get 50,000 to pay for the instrumentalist? Why did you let the people who know how to do kokolo, kokolo, let them start? The same God we are doing for. It's the same one. And we answer. It means the presence of the people. Why will we kill ourselves? God did not give us specification of instrument or instrumentalist. Let people learn on the job. Do you understand? So let's change our expectations, our perceptions. Yes, God is a God of standard and excellence, but He knows that there are processes. God, and He will allow us, the same God that created milestones for children. My 3-year-old, I'll be 3-month-old, 6-month-old, and said by 3-month-old, you expected your neck to stand. And by 6 months, maybe you sit without support. And if not, till 6-9 months, you still have the chance to do so. And by 1 year, you may try to walk. And if you are walking by 10 months, superb. But nobody will beat a baby and say, by 1 year, you are learning or theory. At best, by 2 years, he's walking and running. It is just, they are being mean. So break jobs or tasks into manageable parts. Prioritize your work, man of God. Delegate to people. We're going to go to that scripture very soon. When Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came, and Moses was rattling, God is doing wonders. So, when she share yanugong, what miracles, what signs and wonders, all this we are doing. And the man said, okay, good, well done. My son-in-law, you are doing well. And then the man observed, the God that wanted to save Moses from dying untimely made the father-in-law to give attention to his administrative skills and what he was doing. And says, what? What are you doing for these people? Only you? Only you? Counseling them? Judging? Talking to all these people? Hey, you're doing great disservice to the kingdom, to yourself and to the people. Because at the point in time, there's a lot of diminishing returns. You will be at your best. Set reasonable and realistic goals. Your church is, let's say, 100 crowd at large attenders. Maybe best convention program, you have 200 or 150. And you now say you want to build a 5,000 auditorium. That goal is wonderful. What is the population of all the people in Jebugbo themselves? Muslim, pagan, Christian, are we up to that number? So let's set realistic goals. We should not run after somebody. Winner Stapul has done it. They are great. Me too, I want to do that dome. Goals. And you see, for each ministry, God has different goals. The ultimate goal is heaven. But God has placed us in different strategic places. Some people have women ministry. Don't turn that women ministry to couple ministry. It's different. Some people have men's ministry, family ministry. Do you understand? Don't turn it into apostolic church planting. God perhaps has put into you some things you have gone through in your life. God has decided, I have groomed you enough to go and be building families, because he wants families to be solidly founded, and then they'll be able to now groom their children, and wherever they are, they will now be able to work for him. God, Bible says God plants the solitary in families. He has plans for each one of us. And one thing that God has taught me all these years is that, you see, Bible says we are the body of Christ. Abi? Body has different parts. Some people are eyes, some are fingers, and some are the foot. And the Bible also said that let the brain, or let the eyes not say that the foot is not doing, and we cannot say all the body must be eyes. He says, so where will the hand be? If everybody is just seeing, who is going to be talking? Who is going to be hearing or listening? And there is no part of a body that should be undermined, because we are a team. We are working ultimately for the edification of the body of Christ. So for our own place, our own slot, our own part in that body not to be, you know, out of place, we should take care of our body and give attention. So we should set realistic and reasonable goals. We should avoid procrastination. What needs to be done should be done. And if you cannot do it at that time, assign it. You know the problem of procrastination? You accumulate work and job. You now have to do more at the time you need to do it. But if you do it and take it off one by one, it's easier. Then set boundaries. Set boundaries. You cannot say that I'm going to be in church throughout to be seeing people. No lunch break. No closing time. Some people might stay at home and relax. I want to go and see Pastor Niro learning about a convenience for me. And then, you know, you give people appointments. Because you should have time to do some other things. You should prioritize. So then you set boundaries. They cannot, after 8 p.m., I don't attend to any counseling time. Because from that 8 p.m., you should have time maybe to eat your dinner or early, and then have some time to pray, have some time with your family. That aspect I didn't mention, it's not only men, but for women. Part of healthy living is to have time for our spouse. So, a man that does not have a peaceful home has no business standing on the pulpit. A woman that does not have a peaceful home doesn't have business ministering to other people. For those who are married anyway, for those who are not married, yes, they can go their own path. But Paul was not married, and there's no problem with his ministry. Do you understand? So this is not to say you must only be married to be a minister. So let's not, misinterpret me. But it's important that, because you see, a healthy relationship helps a healthy emotion and a good mental health for us. And that we have to ensure it. Bible says we should follow after peace with all men. Why? Because it is health-wise good news for us. By all means, follow after peace with all men. And that all men also is our spouse. He says, Madam, you are the devil that doesn't want this ministry to progress. And I'm going to deal with you. And you are having malice, and you are going to the pulpit. How can we progress? Or mommy does the same thing to daddy. That's not important. Then schedule what is called me time. I remember when I just got into this administrative position, everything just went, you know, my eating time scattered, my routine, everything was just like, let me work. I was in a world of entire stress 24/7, which God helped me to reorganize. I'm just settling back. Even eating time, for like the first 3 months, persistently, I had no breakfast, no lunch. Persistently. I would leave home very early in the morning. I don't eat routinely in the office. until I get back home. When I get back home, I'll be too tired to even eat. I'll just eat something little and I'll sleep. I had little sleep because my mind is not sleeping. I'm thinking of tomorrow, what's going to happen? What meeting am I going to have? What am I going to do? And I kept on. Daddy said, hey, you this woman, don't kill yourself. And I had to speak to myself as I've been spoken to have a me time. And I remember one of my ogas, she's a professor of anesthesia. And he said, Bumi, I went for exams, I think about 2 years, and he said, look, even my children, my husband knows on Saturday morning, until 12, I don't open my phone. No WhatsApp. Anybody that sent any emergency message, the person will read it himself or herself. But Saturday morning till 12, it is me time. Both of our kids are abroad. He said, don't call mommy, she will not answer you. You know, he said, that is our own time. And husband dears North Chester, around that time, my dear, you know our routine breakfast, take cereal, you know, Saturday morning, it is me, a minimum time here. Yeah? You should create a me time. It's not selfishness. It's a time to pamper yourself, talk to yourself, just enjoy yourself. Me time is not a time you spend on WhatsApp or TikTok or Instagram or Facebook, doing face. Nothing is exacting, you don't know. And it's a time waster. You must be disciplined on the time you use on media as a minister of God. It's a time waster. And don't have games on your phone, size and mass. You'll be surprised. I have a friend whose husband had to say, warn your friend. She will play games until 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Be playing games, Candy Crush. Now, number one, I have to tell her, I said, are you going to receive an award or professorial chair for playing Candy Crush? He said, no, it's just, when it is an addiction. That is how people get addicted to cocaine. Go and remove it. Now, it is disturbing your marital enjoyment life. If your husband is complaining, it means it's disturbing the time. You cannot scratch his back or, you know, rub his head for those 2 hours. You will say, what's your problem, sir? Just be rubbing your head or touching your body for that time. But you can sit down with phone and be pressing phone for until midnight. You deprive yourself of quality sleep. Your brain, what sharpness is game giving your brain till 2 a.m.? So you see, we have to watch. That me time should be a progressive, objective, restful period. Objective, restful period. And once you lay that precedence, you know there's some shops, for instance, in Lagos, on Thursdays, they know it's a sanitation. No shop will open before 10 a.m. And some shops in Ogun State or Sagamu, I know they do the cleaning of the market. If other people can do such regulations, heaven will not fall. Hell will not let loose. Have your me time and make up your mind. Nothing will happen. In fact, one of my seniors had to say, Bumi, when you bring your lunch to office, 30 minutes is not a crime. Tell your secretary nobody must come in. Sit down and eat. Close your phone like this. Put it on silence. Eat and relax. Life doesn't have two options. So if anybody dies, the best will say, oh, sorry. That person was hardworking. Ah, my share she gone. May such bad compliments not be our portion in Jesus' name. I don't want that too. Everybody should desire to eat the fruits of their labor. Bible says it is sweet. It is honorable. It is godly for us to eat the reward of our labor. We are not going to be teachers. Even teachers are here seeing. They don't get their reward in heaven. We get a reward here. Yes. So even for pastors and ministers, praise the Lord. The next slide for me. Benefits of stress management. If you manage your stress well, or stress levels around you, you handle them, you don't have undue expectations, you get much energy. You have stamina to do more. You are more efficient in the household of God. You can do better. You can do exploits. Then emotionally, you are stabilized. Because you have helped yourself, you are able to help others. We should not knock ourselves so much that we are helpless to help others. We are now hopeless to give hope to others. We should get ourselves to such a way that we are always hopeful. We are always joyful. We are always having stamina. So it means we take little breaks. Yoruba adage, you will say moja mosa laughing making country no gun. Ability to focus improves, and ability to learn and achieve gets better if we are able to manage our stress. So what are the implications for the minister? We are able to re-energize for more effective work for the kingdom. We are also able to empower and delegate duties gracefully, because as you discover that I cannot do all things. Yes, the Bible says I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Does not mean I will do all things. It's like at any point in time that I need to venture into anything that seems impossible, I have the capacity, the God-given grace, ability to do it. It's not saying that does not imply I can sweep, I can mop, I can jump, So what will others do? So it's important that we empower others and delegate duties to people around us. An ability to delegate and embrace diversity of ideas and promote creativity. Look, we should move from uniformity to diversity. If we have, let's say, workers, let's say 20 workers in our church, at workers' meeting, get the ideas. We want to do evangelism. Give us ideas on how we go about it. You will see some people will say, we can talk to children this way. We can use cartoon. Then we have diversities. Okay, we want to arrange Sunday school. How we do Sunday school? And so, the person that will bring the idea, we can have couples Bible study class. We can have children Bible study class. The people giving those suggestions, once they have that idea, they have the capacity to carry on with that idea and execute it. And you see, if you don't tap into those resources God has put in those people, you undermine, you underutilize them. And they will not grow. They will not blossom. So it's important that we allow such opportunities. And you'll be surprised that your church will be richer. Your ministry will be richer. Because you have able, faithful men who are now able, who God has equipped to do better. Attention, I wrote that even Jesus often had some break in between ministrations. And we take his disciples. Sometimes he's the one that will just withdraw. You understand? And go and have some rest and also pray. The Detroit's question. He says, man of God, what are you really doing? It's supposed to be, what are you really doing? Exodus chapter 18, verse 1 to 25. You can just write it down. That was when the story I shared about Jethro and his son-in-law, Moses. And the Bible says, I think it was between 7 and 12. He said, what? What are you doing? Is this what you do daily? And I said, look, go and appoint 70 elders. And did we hear that there was chaos or issues? The Bible didn't record it. Work went on smoothly. It went on very well, if not even better. All he needed to do was equip those 70, train them, tell them how to do things, and anything that goes beyond their power, they now bring to Moses. So he was able to delegate, and he also had time. You know, the first few years of his ministry, he left his wife and children with the father-in-law. He was the one that carried them, carry your baggage. Bear where. If he had not had children before he took all that, it means for those years he won't have children. Or he would have ended up marrying another woman, that kind of a thing. But the father-in-law was such a family man and very considerate man. Said, hey, your husband is a man of God. I'll be here. Let's go. It is not a sin for a man of God to have wife and children. You can cope. Some other people have called before. The Lord will give you grace to do it. And he helped him to arrange and prioritize his life. What he just said was just prioritize your life. Delegate duties. There are people here who are also capable, who you can also equip to be better. And you see, when you delegate duties to people, they appreciate the responsibility because it's an entrustment. They are willing not to fail. And they will do it with all the zeal and passion. So tell yourself, relax. Man of God, relax. Woman of God, relax. So we'll just go over that. You can skip that slide on relaxation. And then we'll go to almost the last, second to the last. So the key word today is we should balance, have a balance. We should balance everything we're going to be doing. We should have a balance in life. We'll balance our family life. We'll balance our ministerial life. We'll balance our career. We'll balance everything. Initially, you know, there's a scripture that God had always used to impress on me a long time ago, which has helped me to date. And that's the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 4. And that's about, the Bible says, Deborah, the wife of Lapidoth, was a judge in Israel and a prophetess. So it showed a woman had multiple faces. She was, for her to be a prophetess, means she was sound spiritually. For her to be a judge, she was sound socially and legal issues. And maybe other settlements, customary court issues, settlements of, you know, things like that. She was administratively skillful. And then the wife, if you just said she was a prophetess, we would have said, oh, but she added that one. So it is not an excuse. I'm married, I cannot serve God. Zero. I'm married, I cannot be effective administratively. We say, what's your problem? Mommy Deborah did it. She coped. Hallelujah. And the Bible didn't tell us she had issues with her children, with her home. So it means it is possible. If someone had done it before, just one person, just one example is enough. And for men, we have men in the Bible who took hold of their children, of their home. They took charge of the ministerial calling. And we have people like Prophet Eli. He was neither here nor there. His heart was, though he was old, but his heart was frail. He didn't have good hold on the children. When God said, your children, hey, this is your children, they have derailed, though. They are children of Belial. I'm going to do, said, you are God, though. And the same day they died, he also died. He must have had that nonchalance from a long time. So we can have the balance. It is possible. This is where we should use that scripture. I can do all things. I can live a balanced life. I can live a healthy life. I can look away from what is not for what it is. So how do we create this balance? Number one, we should know our limits. We should remember we are still humans. Please, sir, pinch yourself for me. Pinch yourself. Did it pain you? Are you sure it's painful? It shows you are not wood. We are humans. So we should not forget. Our body have cells that recreate itself. And when they grow old, they die. Some cells die daily. Some cells take some particular days. Red cells, our body, takes about 120 days. The one that carries blood and oxygen to every part of our body. So different cells of our body, they grow, they die, and they grow. They replenish themselves. So we cannot afford to use our body anyhow. They know your medical history. What do you mean by that? You should know the medical history of your family tree. There's some diseases that run in some families. I mentioned earlier hypertension, diabetes, psychiatry. They are called familial diseases. Apart from being diseases of affluence. What do you mean by affluence? Diseases that when you are accomplished, you have money, there's plenty car, and you become a general overseer, that you have a lot of protocol, and you don't have to do grief. People have to book like 1 year before they can see you or invite you. And you know, by the grace of God, God has blessed you. You don't have to go to, you don't even know what they cook for you. You don't have to walk any distance, you know, from, the car will drop you at the door of the church, and as you walk in majestically, you just sit down. When they're even doing praise worship, don't worry, ma. Thank you, ma. When they're doing praise worship, you know, do you know that dancing is an exercise? It pains my heart when I see men of God, when they are worshiping God, and they are like this. Worshiping the Most High God. Oba Amuni, Abi. Oba Amuni Koto Leni. Oba Kon Wokonye. Ari Roala. Eko Oko Farao. Ti Farao Ba Gbo Uruko Olorun. Ni Hell To Wa. Atusagiri. We don't mention him. That man, my horses and chariots and all my horsemen, all of them perished. The Bible says they sank as lead. Clapping is an exercise. Recently, I saw what this Chinese WhatsApp that showed that different parts of our body is connected to our palm. And when you clap, there are some things you excite in the body and keep alive. So, when we talk about bodily exercise, though the Bible says profit a little, there's still a little profit. Little profit is better than zero profit. So when it is time to dance and do praise worship, you don't necessarily say, if I want me to be jumping like those small, small children. That was how David was jumping and the Lord blessed him. Oh. Hallelujah. So when it's time for praise worship, there's an opportunity to do exercise. And the praise, I say, jumping like David dance, we dance, we dance. Do it. It's an exercise unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let me come back to medical history. We must know if our parents are dead, what killed them? How did they die? What happened? And for those who could, at the time they died, had a medical issue, note it down. The Bible says, at the mention of the name of Jesus, at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confess. Abi, it means his name is above every other name. You must know the name of the disease for you to attack the disease. So if my mom has diabetes, I will address diabetes spiritually and I will address physically. I'll run away from whatever is not healthy. And when I'm praying, every seed of diabetes deposited into my system, I command you to die in Jesus' name. I will watch and pray. The Bible says, watch and pray. Didn't say watch and watch. When you are watching and watching alone, you live in anxiety and apprehension. And you can die of heart attack. But when you watch and pray, you step down anxiety with prayers because you have assurance and you pray according to the will of God. And you are able to tackle it with the bullets of the word. So medical history is very important. If somebody's female, for instance, in female lineage, somebody had died of breast cancer, the mother of somebody or aunt of somebody, every female connected to that person, direct, not in-law, direct connection that carries the bloodline, they have to regularly do clinical breast examination check. Clinical, not just the self-breast examination, is for every woman. And in fact, every man, because out of 100, less than 5% of men also have breast cancer. And it's the commonest cancer among women, breast and cervical. So it's important that every woman does self-breast examination, but it is more important because every woman that has had a woman die of breast cancer in their lineage has a 5 times risk of developing it. If the grandmom, if the grand aunt, if the mother. So it's important that those check. That's the importance of medical history. And in medicine, early detection saves life. Prevention is better than cure. There's a lady that is an actor abroad, Angelina Cole or so. Her mother died of breast cancer. You know what she did? I don't know how to say this Yoruba adage, but let me just, if I've forgotten. She went to the doctor. She did a test. He confirmed that she has a gene. He said, Afara, they removed her both breasts prophylactically. She removed the house that should house, it's a breast cancer, Abby. She removed the house. He said, prophylactically, give me cosmetic. She is doing, how do I say it now? That is somebody, you know, secular, not spiritual. She's that cautious. In a developed world, that they have all the technology in the world and best of hands to do this and that. Fakuro is the woman that they taught the best. I will know if that's fake or real. I don't need it. I want to live my life long to enjoy my husband and enjoy my children and enjoy my career, you know. She chose to do that. And now you will now see women that have breast lump. They know their mom or grandparents or whatever has had breast cancer before, and they will say, I trust God. The lump will not become cancer. And you will not even ordinarily remove the lump. Is that wisdom or the opposite? It's not. It's not wisdom. It's not wisdom. And for our information, anyone that has a lump in any part of the body, lump is an exaggerated growth of a cell in any part of the body. It should be removed and be tested. It's called remove, no? Remove it. No drug. Melt lump. Don't let anybody deceive you. No drug. It has to be removed and be tested. You do an histology. So medical history is very important. Know your genotype, know your family lineage, everything, so that you can also give good counseling for your children. And the next thing is you do regular medical checkups. For men and women, we have some general things we can do. But for men, they're specific. And some particular age group, there are some things you must now do. You must do. I'll mention some few things. And this can be annual. Once a year. Because you see, if you sit down, I want to do check your budget. Even if you're not earning, and you see the grace of God upon your life, how much you are spending per month, and God is spending on you or spending through you, God Almighty, the resources passing through you, you see that God is awesome. You can say, I don't have any stable salary, but thousands or hundreds of thousands still pass through your hands. So it means God is bringing your way resources that you can use to take care of yourself. If we decide to say, I want to open a health bank, and I'll be saving 10,000 naira per month towards my health. Or you can do an health insurance. You understand? Those health insurance, they are different ones. Key into one. So that you may not need it. Somebody else may use it. But don't say, it is not saying that I don't have faith. You know the policy in health insurance? If there are 100 people who contribute, let's say, 1,000 naira for health insurance, it has been extrapolated that maybe like 20% of them are the ones that will use the money. But imagine if different members of the church, they don't have health insurance and they always come to you. And all the unbudgeted money, all the tithes and offering goes into taking care of Lagbaja. You are doing curative. You're not doing preventive. It's a waster. Diseases are wasters of resources. But if you make everybody in your church key into one health insurance, and usually it's like savings, you might not have more than 5% or 10% of members of the church that will need it. By that time, the money you have contributed is working. You don't have to do kwajawiri and go and bring large sum of money. There's some health insurance that they would actually sponsor operations that probably will go for, let's say, 100, 200,000. And all they will bill, the hospital will bill them is 60,000. Oju owo lo ma gba. Ko si large profit, because they want health to be available for all and sundry. So it is important that we invest into regular annual checks, medical checkups. And I'm still going to share with us a list for men and women. So the basic medical checklist, you should know, as I believe some of us know today, as basic as weight and height is, we should know it. We should have a diary, a health diary that you can write in front. You notice some diaries will always have weight, height, BMI, your genotype, blood group. If that is all, you have a place you will keep it. And you can watch it, because it will help you to be objective. If people are saying, it's lose weight, gone. What is happening to you? Because you have a prior baseline measurement. If perhaps you are weighing 70 kg And you now decide to go and recheck because you have a baseline for your routine. And you now see that you have dropped from 70 to 50 kg. Ah, something is happening. Because you might actually be fasting and praying, but there might be a disease ongoing that is dropping. Yes, sir. Do you understand? So it's important that we have a baseline of our weight, our height, our body mass index is what is called BMI. They would have done that there. It depends on what it measures or what it says. It depicts some things are not going well or not. Then blood work up. Then basic things like blood pressure should be done like every week or every month at most. It is unhealthy for us to say, I've not checked in the last 6 months. For a minister of God, it is a taboo. You must not let that happen. Then blood work up like food blood counts, fasting blood sugar, electrolytes and urea, lipid profile, liver function tests. Then your heart checks. You want to know how your heart is working. Can I say, my heart is working well, it's okay. At least once in a year, check your heart. You know what we do before we, if you want to travel, the checks you do for your engine, for the car, vehicle, you want to maybe go to Abuja, is different from the one you do to check if you want to go around, around within Ijebugo. You will go and check whether the shock absorber of the vehicle is good. You will go and check, are all the tires well inflated? Is the engine, when was this car serviced? Because it's going on a long journey. But if you're going around, you could just check, is there water, is there oil there? And then you close the engine, it's good. Okay, and then you check your fuel gauge, there's fuel there, then you go. But so you can do some mid-monthly checks, blood pressure, what's it called again? Blood pressure, heart rate, pulse rate. At the time when COVID was so much endemic around us, anytime routinely you detect what is called oxygen saturation level, because sometimes they call some people happy hypoxia. This means your blood level is low, but you're still going around. It's not supposed to be less than 95% or 98%. So all these checks, they must be done. Radiological check, chest x-ray, abdominal, pelvic ultrasound, breast scans and mammograms for women in particular. Men, they should do what is called prostate-specific antigen test. And I mentioned to Pastor that the first 50 men who got here this morning will be entitled to free PSA test at Osuth. So if you are one of the first 50, you would have to come to Osuth. We'll give you a note today, and you will come and get that done. It checks what that your prostate is fine and that you don't have tendency to have prostatic cancer, which is the highest cancer in men from age 40 and above. And the past how many years, I've seen a lot, few men of God who have come down with it. So it's something very important we should, give attention to. Other tests are urine tests, blood stool tests. You might be wondering, what they want to see in my stool? They can detect a lot of diseases in the stool. Recently, I was watching a WhatsApp video that said everybody should deworm every 3 months or six months. Somebody had intestinal obstruction because they had a lot of worms that has blocked. And you see, most of these mangoes we eat, that's why they say wash anything. Sometimes the larva of these worms are on it, and they cannot be seen with the eyes. So if you don't wash, or even vegetables, sometimes you wash, you have not finished washing enough. And so many of these things we eat around. You know, our children, they can, something dropped and they picked it on the floor, and then they just put it in the mouth. Or sometimes even us, meat drops, and say, you this meat, very delicious meat. No, you just pick it again, and there's our floor is okay. And then you just, and you put it. So worms, it can affect both elderly and young people. So they can pick a lot of things from our stool. So it's important, urine tests, blood tests, and they can check specific organs. And when you now give complaint to a doctor, maybe after the routine check, or after the routine check has been done, and the doctor discovers some abnormality, they will now advise you to see specialists. On the last note, while we're going to entertain question, I'll just mention that we have a package in OHH for medical checkups, routine medical checkups. And we have them in different platforms. There's one that is silver, gold, platinum. It depends on how much. But as we're coming, I was discussing with the coordinator whom I came with. that we will give a discount of 20% if we have group booking, at least 10 people or 10 ministers wanting to come to have it done, and that can be considered. So all these tests can be done at a go if you come in. It will be done for you that day, and maximum 48 hours you get all the results. And the doctors that will review, you have paid for the review. They will give you a report, a written report, and they will look through the review, and they will now advise which other specialist you need to see. But for seeing specialists, you now decide if you want to go corporate or you want to go regular. Those services we just introduced. So if you want to go corporate, it's called Fast Track. You don't have to wait. They take you straight to see the specialist, and the consultant is the person that sees you. But if you want to go regular, you wait your time on the queue, and you are also seen at the appropriate time. So thank you for listening, everyone. God bless us all. We'd love to have questions now.
One of the things I won't forget is I can do all things, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we read that scripture as though what it says is, I must do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's the way we read the scripture. Or that is our attitude. So God didn't say you must do all things. As a matter of fact, the part of honor is for you to do less and less things. Amen. The part of honor, the part of good health is for you to do less and less and less things. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus did so much work. And then afterwards, He left the work for the rest of us to be doing. So you pastors, you must do so much work to lay foundations and then raise people who can do the rest while you sit down and relax. Praise God. Questions, please. Do we have questions?